The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. I'm Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we are here for a Transcendental Tuesday.
Tuesday, yay! And it is a Transcendental Tuesday because we are talking tonight about paranormal investigation techniques, which means, you know, all kinds of spiritual stuff, really, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's going to be fun. How are you?
What's taking? Good. How are you?
Good, good. So I know we both had super busy weekends this weekend. I know you moved your studio. I helped our friend Dave, who's usually in the chat room but cannot be tonight because he has no internet, move down to the other side of the state. So busy weekend for sure. But you have your studio all moved, and today was your first day from what I understand?
Yes, I moved on Saturday. And it was funny because I had no keys up until I started moving. I was supposed to get my keys last week, and they didn't come. And every day it was like, no, they're coming today. They have to change the locks. Okay, fine. And so Saturday comes and I have to work in the morning. And I thought, well, I either cancel everybody before I start to work, because by the time I get done working, they will be here, or I just trust. And I'm like, well, we're moving the studio, and hopefully a key will show up at some point while we're moving or before I have to leave. And it was funny because I had so much amazing help. It was awesome. So cool. And partway through the move, some guy comes in the second door. He opens the door with a key and he walks in. Oh. We're like, oh, hello. Who are you? And he's like, whoa, this is the space I used to have. I didn't know there was anybody in here this fast. And I said, oh, I'm here. And he goes, well, I guess I don't need this key anymore then, do I? And I thought, no, you don't.
Did he give it to you then?
Yep, he sure did. Okay. And then actually the locksmith showed up as well. And so they changed all my locks. And so I got my real keys. So that was very interesting. But it was nice because it went so fast with so many people. It hardly took any time. And then we had the leftover time that we thought we would be spending moving. We were able to set a few things up. So it was nice because then on Sunday and Monday, I was out of town. I went to Wisconsin to meet up with my sister. So it was all of this was not planned in advance. It all hit at the same time, though, and I was able to make it all happen, which I'm super grateful for. And yeah, the studio feels awesome. It's not totally set up yet, but that'll happen. It'll come.
Yay.
And yeah, it feels great, and it was awesome to be in there today.
I love it. I love it. Can't wait to see it, for sure.
Well, next time
we're brought me by the door, but it was locked when we were there last week.
I know. I was so bummed because half the time the door was unlocked anyway.
But anyway,
next time we do our show with Kristen, we'll be in there.
Yep. Cool. And I'm actually thinking I might need a Reiki session pretty soon, Heidi. So I'll be talking to you about that too.
Let me know.
I think it's time.
How was your weekend?
Oh, it was busy. You know, I was so tired. We drove, we went through those big, huge thunderstorms in Western Minnesota on Saturday night coming back. And it was, I mean, we had to pull over. It was, the rain was pouring, which we love, right? We so needed the rain. Yeah. And so we were so happy. But yeah, we didn't get home until after midnight. You know, it was craziness. So we left at, we left in the morning and got back after midnight. And so we were tuckered out, you know, so, but it's all good. It's all good. So, and now we're here today with the show. So we are fantastic.
Yes. And you know what? It's funny because I don't know. I don't, you might do this too. I know I do this quite often and I don't admit it as much as it probably happens. But since I was out of town Sunday, Monday, mm-hmm. it felt like I was out of town Saturday, Sunday, right?
Yeah.
So today felt like Monday again. Yeah. And I literally was not ready for the show
until
like all of a sudden 7:30. I'm like, gosh, I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something.
No, you know, life's a whirlwind. Life is a whirlwind, you know, and I keep telling people they need to take my calendar and just like clear off to a 2 week span so that I can just recover. And it's never going to happen. But you and I talk about this all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
Well, if you take time off, you end up filling it with something else and then you need more time off. So it's a,
I know. It's just, it's never going to
be very disciplined.
The silver lining is I get to go to the island and let's see, two weeks from Thursday for a long weekend. So yes,
nice.
Yes, I can relax and look out at the water and wait for those babies and it'll be phenomenal.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. So you know what? So we are coming up to the time of the thinning of the veil. And I know we talked about this a lot last week with Kristen, and things are happening faster. But it's also paranormal investigation time, truly. And as you know, I've kind of stepped away from that, back from that for the last couple of years because we, you know, I was focusing on Squatchers. And then the Sim Crew kind of needed help. So I've done a few things with them. And so it made me think, I think we should do a show on paranormal investigative techniques because we all investigate differently and we all have our own little odd things that we do. And I just think it would be fun to all talk about it. And so tonight we invited our sibling shows, Jerry Ayers and Kim Juarez, on the show with us so we can all talk about paranormal investigation. So welcome to the show, you two.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
This is my first time on here, actually.
No.
I'm so happy. Yeah.
She's never done radio before.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what we meant.
No, I'm talking about the gathering.
The gathering. Well, it's good to have you on, Kim.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
And good to have Jerry. Good to have you back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. We were supposed to sing your theme song as, you know, right before you guys introduced each other, and I forgot.
You were singing?
No, we were going to sing, you know, The Gathering.
The Gathering. Yes. Well, usually when all three of us are together, which Kristen is on the show once a month now, Sarge or somebody puts it in there somewhere. They that horrible, The Gathering. But we have such a history, right? Because we've been doing this for so many years. Has it been 5 or 6 now? You know, I lose track. I just forget.
I think it's 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Oh, helpful.
And we started as the last hour of your show once a month.
Yep.
Back all that time ago. So
I was, you know, I was like a new daddy when you guys, no, seriously, I was so proud of you both when you guys took off and started doing your own show and you had your own time slot. And it's like, my little girls have grown up.
Oh, you know?
And it's like, there they are. They're sprouting to the world. And, you know, I thought it was really cool. I used to listen to you guys. Well, I still do. I listen to you guys all the time. Ladies, sorry.
I know.
Good. It was cool that you gave us a shot on your show, Jerry, and then we took it from there.
Yeah, but I know you guys made millions off the show. And I still haven't seen anything yet.
That's why we're living the life of luxury right now, right?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, we're keeping it all to ourselves, Jerry. Sorry about that.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Too funny. But, you know, Kim, I do think you were on our show. Weren't you on our show when we did, like, the Bigfoot reports back in the day, like, you know, 5 or 6 years
ago?
That's
what I thought.
Was that on The Calling? Maybe that was on
The Calling.
Heidi, was it on the show?
I thought we did it in the, like, a long time ago on The Gathering.
I was thinking you did it too. Like, once in a while. We didn't do it all the time, but, like, every once in a while, we'd come on and do it and do our report or whatever, you know, and talk about things that we've done. So,
I don't know. That was a long time ago. Make it, though, Kim. That could be.
Yeah. Maybe.
Anyway, you're here now.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. We love it. We love it. It's too bad Willow couldn't be on too, but I know she's got a lot going on down there in New Orleans. I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah, she's got like, what is it, like 2 or 3 weeks before she gets water turned on and power.
Well, let's hope they get it turned down faster than that, because, wow, that's a long time. Holy cow.
No kidding.
Yeah.
But she's safe, right? Everybody's safe?
Oh, yeah, she's safe. Her babies are safe. Her plants outside are shredded and uprooted and everything.
Yeah.
And she's pretty devastated by that.
Yeah. But she'll make it through. She'll make it through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She'll do fine.
So paranormal investigation. Heidi, how should we begin the conversation?
Well, I guess, you know, it's interesting talking about maybe the similarities, you know, of the different groups, like, because we're part of three different groups, right? Mm-hmm. You know, between all of us. And so, you know, maybe looking at some of the similarities that we're aware of, or maybe some of the, and then we can also talk about some of the things that we don't do, you know, that we all are on the same page with as well. You know, some of the things we do and some of the things we don't do. So I'm curious if maybe Jerry, if you can start.
Sure.
Hang on a second. I've got a dog barking here. Would you?
Oh, I thought that was Tim.
No. So anyway.
Joking.
Let me turn my microphone off here for a second. But Jerry, why don't you start and tell us kind of how you guys run your investigation.
How we run the investigations? We usually will pair up, and some people will, you know, go in certain areas, and then we like to go half in and the other half out if it's there's an outbuilding or something like that. Like we have one upcoming this Saturday. We've got actually two newbies. We just brought on another person today, a Mariah Edwards. We're very excited to have her. Got to get a little plug in there for her. And the place that we're going to has a very large airplane hangar, and then there's the house. So I don't think – have I told you a lot about the investigation, Steph, since you're coming with?
No, because you know what? I said I just kind of wanted to go in there ignorant and see what I felt and saw and heard. But I think what's interesting, and you should speak about this, what you have told me is that not only are there spirits up there, but they've also had Bigfoot sightings and UFO sightings, and it's very near to the Squatch Hers research area.
Exactly. It's very close to it. I mean, like across the street from it, that close. The place itself, I mean, has had some really odd things happening on it. So, like, again, half of us will go in, half of us will be outside, and then we'll kind of switch after about an hour and a half. I know an hour and a half doesn't seem like a lot, but you don't need to, in my way of doing things, a person doesn't need to be locked in a place for 8 hours unless you're going to do Humbert, because Humbert, if you sleep, that's when spirits really come at you, and they do things to you. They're hands-on, you know, so it's pretty incredible. But this place is going to be just a blast. I can't wait for it. And again, I don't want to tell you too much, because like tonight, Steph helped me clear my new apartment, and I told Steph, I said, well, I'm going to let you, you know, tell me what you feel in the place. And we get there, and right away, you should put this over there, and you should put a bed here. I'm like, no, honey, that's not why you're here. You're here. I said, feel it up and tell me what you think. And then she's like, comes back, and she goes, I don't feel nothing nasty, but I said, you do feel something like, what did I say, Steph? Pressured or something?
I don't know. There was a heaviness in there, and I felt like there was a lot of swirling, like confusion, swirling. What do I do now? I'm not sure what's happening, blah, 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 kind of stuff. You know, it was interesting. I'm not really sure what that was all about. But we did a good job. And what's interesting is I thought that when we were pretty close to being done, that shell of all of our different medicines, actually the flame started big. Like normally it smokes, and all of a sudden it shot up flames. So I mean,
she means shot up flames. In that certain area, that's where I felt something.
Yep.
It shot up about 3 to 4 inches.
Yeah.
And that is not supposed to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was very strange.
Very interesting. Yeah. But we had it covered. It's all good now. I felt like it was whatever was there is gone. It felt very peaceful when we left, I thought, you know. So we did a good job.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, though, Jerry, when we talk about, like, the different techniques, going back to what you said about when you go into a location, you guys investigate in teams, right?
Yep.
You said that. But then also you said half the team, the entire team, half goes in and the other half waits outside.
Well, yeah, if there's another place to investigate, you know, other than that, we could put them in the basement. But when people are in a basement, they're going to hear the creaking of boards and everything from being downstairs. Mm-hmm. So it's best to have them, especially, you know, the amount of people that are going to be outside and out buildings and the other half inside to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's a small location, you'd do that.
Right. If it was a small location, actually, we'd bring fewer investigators. But I have two new people, and I want them to be able to know what's happening and be able to feel it out.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I don't agree with when I see it on the TV shows is people who investigate individually. Just
oh,
one person.
No, never do that.
Yeah. What about you, Kim? How do you do it? Do you do in teams? Do you split your group? Like, how does that work for you guys?
It's the same thing. We kind of split in groups, and we try not to, we try to go into, like, one group, and the other group may watch, you know, the cameras and stuff if we have DVR or whatnot in different places, and we tell them if they see anything or hear anything, you know, hit us up on the radio. Sometimes I don't like taking the radios, you know, the two ways, because sometimes they can interfere with your REM pod or your K2 mm-hmm. or whatnot. But we try to do something like that where the exact same thing where so that way we're not all walking or talking or and everybody is on the same page. So some of us as a group will be sitting there watching the monitors and the other group would be investigating. So unless it's a bigger area then and you can't hear. But sometimes even bigger areas, don't you kind of see that it kind of echoes in a sense? So you try not to make too much noise and stuff because it kind of seems to echo when there's just way too many people investigating, I guess. But but we do it in groups as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand when I see it online, you know, those shows you see people going by themselves and it's, there's so many, well, and obviously they're not by themselves if there's someone recording them, you know,
correct.
If there's someone filming them. So I guess that's, they're not by themselves. I just, I don't understand when you hear about that, you know, or if someone's got a camera on themselves and that's yeah, they've just got their own camera and they're investigating alone. It's like, what are you doing? That doesn't sound right.
I've done it in the past where I can sit alone, but they're watching me on the monitor. If they have to be watching me, you know, because then, you know, like sometimes I can feel more when there's no one around me and I can sense a little bit better. Like what I do too, I go in, closed-minded. I don't want to know anything about the investigation. I like to tell the people what's going on or how they're being haunted or who's coming in, like what type of spirits. It's kind of like a trying to feel who's there with you, you know, or invest, you know, when you go to investigate. So my investigators will probably do a little bit of research and will not tell me, you know, that about that. So, and usually it's pretty spot on and I really enjoy that, especially the validation. So, So sometimes, like, I'll go in a basement or something. But like I said, I have to have a camera on me and stuff like that. Or being able to maybe put a two-way somewhere so that I can reach. Oh, you know, I need some help. Come down here. But I've never had that. I've never been in a terrible situation. And I don't do it all the time. So it's not a good thing to do. So,
Right. We always have said... and both Sim and Squatchers, you must always have someone with you. You can never do it alone. Go anywhere alone. be at right. the woods or a paranormal location or whatever. It's just, it's not safe, I don't think.
Exactly.
But if somebody's watching you and they're just a few feet away and they can help you immediately.
Yeah, or be in the next room, right? In the next room, sometimes you kind of seem like, you know, I kind of like doing too, what I like to do is if someone's sitting in a room or a couple, maybe two people are sitting in the room, I kind of like to let ask the spirit to go make a sound or something like that. And mm-hmm. it just seems to work. I don't know why, but
yeah.
Yeah, it seems to work that way. I don't know. It just, so yeah. They'll probably, go ahead.
So do you do that? So when you go in there alone, do you do it before or after the investigation or during the investigation?
Sometimes during the investigation or like when the investigation is almost done and I get that vibe a little bit, you know, like something like a sense of some sort. And it's like, no, I'm going to just go sit there. Just keep an eye on me, you know, and see what comes around me, you know. And sometimes you could see like I can't say orbs or anything, but like sometimes you see things come off of me. And sometimes you're like, wonder what is all about that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I can get really cool EVPs, you know. And like I said, we don't always do that. And it's just when I get that little bit of sense that maybe they may want somebody just on a one-on-one kind of yeah. thing, you know, something yep. like that. But never where they can't see me, never where right. they can't, I can't be able to get a hold of somebody and say, hey, can you come out here?
Right.
You know,
so, where yeah. they can just charge right in and say, what's mm-hmm. going on here?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, safety is first, I think, with exactly. any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Heidi, and how about your team?
When we investigate, and we do similar, Jerry, to what you were saying about adjusting the size of the group, depending on the location that you're right. going to. Yeah. You know, so we adjust, and especially if there aren't, like you said, outbuildings, right? If it's just a house or a small building and we don't have anywhere else to go, we'll bring a smaller group. But yeah, if there's other locations, you know, if it's a multiple building location or it's a very large location that we can really spread out, we'll bring, you know, a bigger team. And by bigger team, I mean like maybe 8 people, mm-hmm. you know? So I think the smallest team I would bring is probably 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest team I would bring, depending on the locations, either 8 or 9, depending on the size of the location, what all we have to cover while we're there and how much time we have, yeah. you know, so, but again, we'll do the same thing. We'll go in at least pairs, if not 3, depending on how dangerous it is. Mm-hmm. So if it's a larger location and there's some you know, sketchy activity, you know, things that could be dangerous, we'll go in groups of 3. So we might do 3 groups yeah. of 3. Or, you know, even if it's a really big location, 4 groups of 3, because mm-hmm. You don't know what can happen. And another reason, too, it's not just for safety, I think, for going in teams, is also for evidence. You know,
yeah.
you want other people to be able to validate, like, that actually happened, or no, we didn't manufacture that. You have 2 to 3 people that say, we didn't make that sound. That's legit.
Absolutely.
When someone goes by themselves, we had a guy, oh my goodness, and he would disappear and come back with amazing evidence. And we're like, you can't go by yourself. It was his first and only investigation because he wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
And he kept coming back with amazing evidence. We said, we can't count that because we don't know what you're doing out
exactly.
there. So quit going by yourself. And then you turn around, he's in a group with us, and turn around and he's gone. He left to go into another room. He comes back with amazing evidence. Like, okay, if you can't listen, you can't come with us anymore. And so he ended up getting kicked out of the group for another reason, not even that.
Yeah.
He didn't want to listen to anything that we had to do. And it's like, well, then that's, you know, that's fine. Then go start your own group and do it like mm-hmm. that. Do it like you want to do it. But mm-hmm. the way we do it, there's for a lot of reasons. You know, first is safety, like we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And next is because of the evidence. We need mm-hmm. to make sure that it's legit.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I think we're pretty much all on the same page as far as all that goes mm-hmm. for all the reasons outlined. And I think it's good to do that. And I think, too, when you have newbies like Jerry, are both of these new people going to be on the investigation on Saturday? And how are we going to train them?
Yep. And well, they're there just to watch.
Okay.
Like you're going to be, I would like to have you be ahead of one team. And because you know your stuff, sort of. And then...
Nice, Jerry.
So, I know, all of a sudden the mic could just drop and it's like, where's Jerry? I don't know. I think his computer broke. What was the question again? Oh, yeah. So Steph will have one of the newbies, and then I'll have the other one. And mostly we're not going to try to show them how to do things. We're actually just going to do it, and they're going to be there to watch us. Okay. They can ask questions after the investigation. Right. Like, especially one of them is kind of like a medium. And she's like, well, should I tell you what I feel when I'm in there? I said, no, absolutely not. Because that's it's the same way with watching those shows. To me, if you are watching those shows and you go to a place and it's like, oh, my God, it's a lot like that show. Well, I wonder if this is going to happen. Then you're expecting that to happen when you shouldn't be. You should be concentrating on what's going on in front of you. So when it comes to, I feel this, this, and this, that's afterwards when you've left, you know, and then you write it all down on a piece of paper. And once we go through all the evidence, then we meet and we all talk about then if a person is like a medium or something, then they can say, hey, you know, I felt this and this and this. It's like, so that does match up with that.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes what we do, though, in the past, is we get together after the investigation somewhere and chat about the experiences that we've had and maybe kind of the things that we felt. And then, you know, we go through the evidence and see if it corroborates, right? I mean, we have done that in the past. Maybe you guys don't do that anymore. I don't know. It's been a while since I've actually been on the team.
We do. We do. And everybody's looking forward to working with you and Katie again because, you know, you guys were Sim. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
We're team cool, after all.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. There was so much vanity in those two. It's incredible.
One of the things that we do when we're investigating, when we split into teams and then we trade locations. So we'll swap areas, you know, we won't talk in between. So the groups aren't influenced by, oh, what did you guys get? What did we get? Okay, now we know what to look for. So we'll do that too. But then we'll gather towards the end of the investigation and compare notes and what did you get? What did you get? Where'd you get it? All the stuff. And then sometimes we'll get all the team, the whole group together and go to a location. Or, you know, if people need a break, they can go outside and then the rest of the folks will go and do kind of like a group investigation at the most active location of the night just to see if we can, you know, stir something else up, you know, if we can help, if we can finish something, if we can get more evidence, whatever it is, you know. So we'll do that a lot of times, you know, just like, hey, let's go to the most active area and see if we can figure anything else out or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's some of the ways that we do it when it comes to just comparing notes the night of.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You guys, Kim?
Yeah. Do you do that too?
Yeah, we do the same thing. We do that as well. So I like, especially when I tell them, you know, write things down, you know, if whatever you're feeling or whatever that moment or with the time or something like that, you know, and if you feel this, like something touching you or you felt like, you know, because you never know what the other group is going to experience as well. And then that kind of validates what you're experiencing the next group does. You know what I mean? So it's always good to write things down. I mean, pencil and paper is like one of your best.
Absolutely.
You know, it is. And people don't ever bring it, you know, or, you know, they don't ever do that anymore. And it's like, you know, you gotta just write down your experiences in some ways, you know, and it doesn't always have to be a recorder or whatnot, just, you know, validating. And then when the next group comes out and you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, you know, I felt like, yeah, where were you at? Well, right there, you know, sometimes you just need that, you know?
Yep. I mean, I've always said the most important two of the most important tools of a paranormal investigator, a pencil and paper and a flashlight. Honestly, seriously, you know, we really don't need much else. The rest of it is all just fun stuff and cool stuff.
And it's like in basic stuff too. Like you have a recorder, you a small camera, you know, or just a point and shoot. You know, these are the little things that you can use. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that have that big stuff and expensive cameras. And I know, I get that. I understand that. But sometimes it just takes a little bit of a recorder. I have one of the recorders. It's probably like a $200 recorder, and it's got the little, you know, microphone that kind of click over in. But I mean, it's still not that expensive to me. And you know, like expensive stuff, I get it. But you just need a small recorder and a point and shoot, and you're good. You know, we can take a video and whatnot. So
Well, we blew past the half of the hour, so we are going to commercial break right now, and stay with us for 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Hi, this is Marla Brooks from Stirring the Cauldron. Thursdays are a great night on the Para X Radio Network. On the first and third Thursdays of the month at 8 p.m., it's Tango and Friends, hosted by Bruce Tango. And on the alternate Thursdays at 8 p.m., tune in to Stirring the Cauldron, the archive podcast. Every week at 9 p.m. Eastern, join me on Stirring the Cauldron Live. And then at 10 p.m., stick around for New Aeon Now with Lily Alley, Davron Michaels, and Christine Matza. Finally, to round out the night, join Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz on the Paranormal Encounters podcast. All this every Thursday, right here on Para X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network. And we have Jerry and Kim from The Calling on our show tonight. And we're talking about paranormal investigative techniques on our show here, because we're all members of different investigative teams, all four of us on tonight. And it's been an interesting discussion so far. And I think we've had a lot of similarities on how we investigate, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been kind of cool. I wonder if there's any differences on how we investigate. I don't know how we'll figure that out, but maybe just, Jerry, we'll start with you. Is there anything on your team that you believe or know that you guys do that's different than other teams?
Well, this one, everybody laughs at me about on my team, but the thing is, it's really, really true, is that, you know, you can investigate. If you're going to investigate a place, and let's say you're actually going to be there all night, go to sleep. You know, seriously. I mean, after, you know, you you investigate for like an hour and a half, 2 hours and stuff like that, I mean, you go to bed and they will come to you. And I think Steph knows that from Humbird and other places we've done. It's pretty crazy. It's you know, things just wake you up. Like, I had this feeling something was twisting my foot really, really bad, and already I've got cellulitis on that foot. And when I woke up, there was two kids at the foot of the bed. One was laughing, a little boy, and he had my foot, and he was twisting it. And there was, I think it was a girl, I'm not for sure, I couldn't see her face. And as soon as I noticed them, they stopped and ran. I was fully awake. I seen them, and when they ran through the door, and you could kind of hear them down the hallway. I was so shocked by that, you know, and I just kind of laid back down again, and I was just about to sleep, and this scream came piercing from somewhere, and I had to wake up Stephanie and Nicole. I screamed at them. I said, "Did you effing hear that?" And they're like, "What?" And I said, "You're kidding me." And I did catch the audio on that, and it was absolutely crazy.
Yeah. We played that audio, Heidi. It's the one that sounded like, it almost sounded there was somebody breathing, and then it was like a Hollywood scream. But
I remember that one.
The odd thing is we were the only ones in the whole building, and it was completely locked up from the outside. So
now, I did some investigating on that scream. Now, some people are saying that when wolves attack a deer, mostly a male deer, and it's injured and they attack at it, a scream similar to that could come out of it. Yeah. And I mean, we're out in the country. It's a very small community, Humbert is. Could it have been something like that? I know that they say that they have seen wolves and bears crossing the street. So could it have been that happening? But the kids, no way. You know, it's a really crazy place. And Kimmy is like the bravest one, I think, of all paranormal.
She's staying in the pink room.
Right. And the pink room has the creeper that crawls across the ceiling and stuff. Right. I won't stay in there. And Steph, man, if you guys were here to see Stephanie when we were doing an SLS, and there's at least three or four entities in this one room, mm-hmm. and Steph was watching it, and all of a sudden you hear her yell out, "Nope, no way, I'm not staying in a room by myself. We're all staying in a room together." You know?
So, I did. Yeah. I did. So we all slept in the same room that night. Yeah. But funny how Nicole was like, "Okay, I'm up for that," you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is funny because Steph, when you go on investigations with her and stuff like that, she's way ahead of you. And so like, you have to reach over to her and say, "Come on, Steph, stay back with us," you know, because she's not afraid of anything. So it's really shocking when you say this, you know.
Oh,
so.
And, you know, it's funny what she's doing right now. Did anybody hear that? She was humming. And during an invest, yes, you were. I could hear you. Yes,
Heidi,
you were.
Was I humming?
When I didn't hear it, but
everybody listen at 8:39. So that's an hour and 39, or no, I'm sorry, 39 minutes into the show. When you guys listen to it the next day, listen for Steph at when I say this, right before I say this, because Steph is humming and she does that on investigations. And I remember newbies would come up to me and other investigators, and they're like, "Can you get her to stop that?" I go, "What is she doing? She's humming." You know, Waverly Hills. We thought there was something going on. There's Steph.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know I'm doing it. Honestly, I know. It's crazy. All you got to do is tell me and I shut up, though. You know, then I realize I'm doing it. And then, you know, we shut up. But
that's great.
I know.
Well, and that's kind of a kick when it comes to, you know, debunking evidence. It's like, wait a minute. You could spend, you know, a long time trying to figure out the humming, and then you realize it's another investigator. It's like, oh man. So, yeah.
I thought I had nixed that, Jerry. I don't think I did that at Humbert, but
Dad, I don't know. I'll have to ask.
I don't think so. I think I was super good.
she gets a gold star and a cookie now.
Yeah, I do.
Well, I have to agree with you, Jerry, on the sleeping thing, because we do that as well. If we have a decent amount of time at a location, I'm all for getting people to lay down and try and take a nap or go to sleep, because spirits do. If they feel like they can get away with something, or that they think you're vulnerable and they can maybe mess with you a little bit, or that you're just not paying attention and they can do their normal thing, they definitely will. And so it's really cool to set your equipment out while you're sleeping and then hope you don't have anybody humming or snoring, so that you can, you know, not have your audio trashed. But it's cool to see what happens, you know, and have some, you know, video camera set up, because yeah, there's some interesting things that happen.
Yeah. Exactly. Agreed. 100%. That is, it's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. And I know people that would say, I do not sleep during an investigation. I want to be awake the whole time because I don't want to miss anything. And it's like, I don't know. I'd give a couple hours up for, if I had the time, I'd give it up for taking a nap, A, so that I can be fresh for the rest of the evening. But also, you don't know what they might do. I've actually had spirits interact with me through my dreams during investigations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at Jerry. Tell him Nicole's dream when we were there at the Humbird.
Oh my
goodness. That was pretty powerful and scary, and they were interacting with her for sure.
Exactly. Now, right after the kids, you know, did that, and then I heard the scream and woke up, Nicole actually wanted to go home, because in her dream, on our way there, we went past a puppy mill. It was Amish people that had the puppies, and there was a dead German Shepherd puppy out there. Well, when we got to Humbird, we went to bed and everything anyway. So after the scream and after I woke him up, that's when Nicole said that. And she said she seen two kids, one boy, one was possibly a girl but couldn't see her face. And the boy had a puppy in its arms, and it was a little German Shepherd puppy, and it was twisting its head off. And they were laughing.
And it kept happening over and over. It was just a cycle, cyclic. Yep. And it kept playing over and over and over in her head. And she wanted to leave, you know, but I don't think it bothered her after that then. You know, I think she
exactly. Yep. But, and that's room 3S right across from that yucky room that Kimmy's going to be staying in.
We get to stay in the first floor apartment, which will be fun because there's stuff happening in there too, from what I understand.
Right. And the thing is, that's where that scream came from a lower level.
Right.
Now, it's weird is that the breathing part was next to the voice recorder. You can definitely tell that it was from there. That had nothing to do with the scream.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you're humming.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, Kim. Kimmy, what were you going to say? I'm sorry. I kind of
catch up. That's okay. I was going to say that I had an experience when I was at a hotel, and the whole thing about sleeping is really correct. If you leave a recorder out and maybe a K2 or whatnot, and you have a video tape, you know, just taping while you're sleeping or whatnot. In this case, I think it was only a recorder, and I just set the recorder down, and it was at a hotel, and I won't say what hotel it was, but we laid down and everything, and we went to sleep right away. So you can hear us snoring. You know, you can hear the snoring or the, you know, sleeping or whatnot, you know. And right away you heard, like, keys jiggling down the hallway. And you hear somebody, you know, putting the key into the doorknob, you know, the sound and everything. All of a sudden you hear the door wide open, and it's our door, right? And you hear, get up. Get out, like that. And all of a sudden you hear them, the door slams like loud as can be. And this is happening between 3:30 and 4:00 in the morning. And apparently at that time, there was a fire at that hotel at around that time period. So, I mean, it is so true. You can catch almost anything and I didn't think that's what you would. You know, I didn't know it was going to be like that, you know. Yeah. I just thought, hey, randomly, let me just put my recorder out and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we caught a great EVP. So, yeah.
Yeah. And Heidi, I know you've had experiences sleeping in the past, like people, spirits coming and sleeping with you and kind of spooning with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that happened. The first time it happened was at the Palmer House, and I was at a private party. I was hired to do tarot readings. And I had, I don't know, 15 gals I did readings for, and I was exhausted. And they were going to continue to stay up all night, have a good time, whatever. And I was like, I got to get up and leave first thing in the morning. I got to go to work. I cannot stay up. So I'm going to hit the hay. And I was just hoping that they wouldn't be so loud that I would be up all night. And so I thought, boy, if I could get, I said jokingly, you know, to one of the gals, it'd be nice if one of the spirits could, you know, help me sleep and spoon me or something like that. I don't know what I said. I was joking around. And there was, so I went to my room and I get into bed and I'm just getting ready to turn the light off. And I hear the door, which I can't see from my bed. I heard the door latch. So it sounded like it unlocked. And I thought, well, that's interesting because nobody else should be coming in here. So I crawled to the end of the bed to look down the little corridor to see the door, and it was locked. So I thought, well, that's weird. Did I not lock it? But I know I did. So I climbed back in bed, and I'm just getting ready to turn off the light, and I hear the door open, so you can hear it going across the carpet and then shutting. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And I crawled back to the end of the bed, looked. Still, I see the door is closed, the door is locked. Okay, fine. So I climb back into bed and I turn off the light and I said, if you're here, just help me sleep. Like whatever you can do to help me sleep, that would be great. I turn off the light, went to sleep, and I felt someone climb into bed and lay next to me, and it felt like someone was like laying there with me. Yeah. And I thought, okay, well, as long as you can help me block out the sound and I can sleep, then we're good. And that's exactly what happened. It was like white noise. I slept like a baby. I woke up the next morning. I felt great. And I saw a couple of the gals as I was leaving, and they didn't look so good. They're like, it was so hard to sleep and everybody's loud and whatever. I said, oh, I slept great. And they're just looking at me like, how in the world? And I said, well, I think someone actually helped me sleep. Yeah. And so that was helpful. You know, I mean, I wouldn't appreciate that if just any old spirit did, but I could tell that this was someone that was trying to help me. And so that was okay. But yeah, there's been a couple of times where you'll be laying in bed and you can feel them like climb in there with you.
What room was it, Heidi, by the way?
That was 14.
Okay.
That was years and years ago. I mean, that was, I was still working my corporate job. So that was at least probably 10 years ago.
Well, that's where that happened to us, was at the Palmer. So, you know, I wasn't sure if I could say it. So that's what happened. So, and there was a fire there. So yeah, that's exactly. And I was in room 17.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, when they come to you when you're sleeping too, mm-hmm. in dreams, and just share information, or, you know, because a lot of the times the dreams that I have when I'm sleeping at a location, they're not bad. Like that dream that you guys shared was terrible. And
yeah,
but sometimes they're just informational. They want to give you more information, and this is the best way they can connect with you. Mm-hmm. To, you know, do this through dreams, because your barriers are down and you're more open or whatever. And that's the only way that they can get through. So I like giving it a shot. Even if the rest of the team wants to stay awake, if someone could just, you know, keep an eye on me, usually someone else will want to sleep. If it's a good amount of time, someone else will want to sleep. So I'll probably be in the same, you know, even if it's on the floor, a lot of times we'll sleep in locations that it's not a hotel, you know, we're sleeping on the floor somewhere. And as long as someone else is kind of hunkered down there nearby, it's all good. And anyway, yeah, I'd do it every time. If we had enough time to do it, I would always do it, because I find that it's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
For sure. So what is your favorite piece of equipment? Let's start with you, Kim.
My favorite is the recorder. And my least favorite is, what would be my least favorite? The Ovilus.
No.
I don't get much with the Ovilus, but I do get a lot with the SB11 and the SB7. So, yeah.
Jerry, how about you?
Well, the Ovilus is absolutely stupid. I'm sorry.
I knew he was going to say that. I know him so good.
And even when your guests even mention the Ovilus, I'm like,
sorry, I know other investigators are like that too.
But I really, what I really like the most is a K2 meter and an EMF detector, not I'm sorry, I don't like millimeters either. There's so much inconsistencies. If you have three of them together, each one of them is going to have totally different readings. Mm-hmm. But an EMF meter, which to try to find the old style ones like I have, would actually cost you $300 and some nowadays.
I know. When
first got it for $29.95.
Wow. You know? Wow.
But the old style EMF detector, K2 meter, and now I just got this new thing. It's sort of like a tri-meter, but it's a little bit different. It was cheaper. But I really like it. I think it's going to be really good. So other than that, you know, your own intuition, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Heidi? I mean, your guys' team, do you guys find that you use less types of equipment or more than anything?
We use a lot of the basics, a lot of the standards. You can't beat them. You know, some of the things that we've already talked about. And I do like just a regular old voice recorder.
Yeah.
Boy, you can't beat that. When you get those voices or those sounds that you know a human in the group didn't make, you just can't beat it. That's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
But I know, Jerry, you just got done knocking the millimeter, but I'm not saying it's my favorite, but I do have multiple millimeters. And yes, I have seen that happen, but what if it's happening because a entity or spirit is interacting with one millimeter and not the others?
That's the thing is that, you know, what if no one knows?
Well, right. You don't know, but most of this you don't know.
Yeah. But you're trying to be as factual as possible. So, you know, the things that we like to use and stuff, are they something that really works? You know, we all don't know. We'll know when we die. You know, then we can look back at that person trying to comment at us and poke them in the nose a million times and stuff, and so you know, kind of know if that stuff works. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But so let me throw this at you, because this is what we do with our millimeters: is we will set, and these are unopened, sealed bottles, but they're mini bottles of alcohol, and we'll put them next to millimeters, and we'll kind of spread them out. So we'll have a bottle of, let's say, whiskey, bourbon, vodka, tequila, whatever. And we'll call them out and say, you know, so we'll have these millimeters sitting somewhat close to each other, but they each have an assigned bottle of alcohol. And we'll ask Spirit, if you're wanting to talk to us, pick your favorite bottle of alcohol and use that millimeter. And they've done it. And so, you know, it's a one millimeter will go. And so we'll say, oh, that's whiskey. So are you, you know, your favorite is whiskey. Can you move the, you know, so we'll do things like that to test it out. And it's interesting how it does. It has lined up. It doesn't always happen, but sometimes it does. And I think it's interesting because there have been huge consistent, you know, it's very consistent when we've done it with that test. So just a thought, maybe try something like that, or maybe you already have and you don't like it.
But we've done that.
Oh, yeah, we've never tried it. Sorry.
We've done it too. We've done that too, Heidi. We've been in a bar and we will put a cigarette in front of a K2. And we'll put a bottle of little alcohol, one of those little tiny bottles, and we'll say, "Would you prefer?" Yep. You know, and usually it's the cigarette.
Yeah.
It's usually the cigarette, and so we've done that as well. So
So I don't know. But back to the original question, I do like good old fashioned voice recorder, those little $60 babies. You know, and just get a little voice recorder and off you go, and it's great. That'd be my favorite.
Absolutely.
What about you, Steph?
You know, I just like plain old voice recorders. You know, we have all the fancy schmancy stuff. I do have an EMF detector, which needs a new antenna. And honestly, I can't find it. So I put it somewhere because I was going to order one so that I would have it for the Para Expo next month. And I'll find it. I just don't know where it is. So that I could order a new antenna. Jerry's never liked it, can I say? But he also gave me one of these new cool tri-meter things. But he says the main reason was because it was Squatcher's colors, so I had to have and he said it would do good for Squatchers in the field too, to measure the EMF from portals and things like that. Yes, so it'll be a dual tool for me.
And the reason I said that is because it has more than just a K2 meter. K2 meter, I believe, is good for communication. This type of meter is going to be all around for portals, vortex, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited to use it because I haven't used it yet. So yeah, it'll be fun stuff. But yeah, I'm just kind of I have a small little Panasonic camera, you know, still camera that I use, and my voice recorder, and those are my two favorite things, honestly. And, you know, the meters are fun to have because you can kind of tell. Jerry, do you remember that one piece of equipment that we had that one time that was like a proby thing, remember? And you could measure how big the spirit was? What was that called? And why don't you have it anymore?
That was it was a probe. It was EM probe, something like that. It was made by a guy, and it actually broke. It broke many years ago, but it was the best. Now, I've gotten a hold of that guy, and it was actually earlier this year, and I asked him if he, you know, remembers it. He said, yeah. I said, can you still make them? He said, no. He said, we actually didn't sell a lot. And I'm like, it was so cool because it was like a wand, but they call it e-probe. They called it an e-probe. And
yeah, that's what it was, e-probe.
Yeah, we even, you know, like if a person was in front of you, we'd go up the arm, you know, across the shoulder, the neck, the head, and you could, there was a perfect human standing there, you know, so you could do the same thing with spirits. It was so awesome. I just love that thing, but yeah, it's a bummer. It's probably some alien took it, and you know what they do with probes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody caught that.
No comment. I can't believe that's how we're going to have to end the show.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Look at the time.
Thank goodness. It's already 8:58. By the bell.
Can I say one thing real quick, please?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so everybody listen next week, because next week is going to be the Expo, Para Expo Humbird people, Stephanie, Kim, myself, of course, and Willow's going to be on because she's going to be there, and Chris Riggins with the Hotel Bar and Grill will be on.
Yeah, it should be a good show.
Yeah, sorry.
That's all good.
That's next week. But tomorrow night, you guys aren't live, right? So are you running a rerun tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a rerun tomorrow night because I'm moving and Willow, you know, and Kimberly, I think she had like a arm wrestling championship. She something like that.
Something like that. Sounds pretty good. That's good, Jerry.
Oh, my God. Ceiling Cat is hysterical. You got to read her comments about that show we were on the Travel Channel. Apparently, it aired many times over the weekend. So funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, listen, you know what? It's already, thank you guys so much for being on tonight. It was really fun talking about parental techniques.
Yeah, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
and hearing about all of our different, you know, likes, dislikes, how we do things, blah, blah, blah. It was fun. Someday we'll all have to investigate together on one. I think that would be really interesting.
Absolutely.
I think so, too. I think we should. As a matter of fact, I have a perfect place. I'll talk to you guys about it later.
Okay. Yes. And you know what? We're at the end of the hour. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much to the troops out there. If you're listening, and be safe. And thank you for your service, for sure.
Absolutely.
Next week is the Paranormal Smorgasbord. Can I
just tune into that?
Tune in.
And everybody in the chat room, everybody listening, wherever you are, thank you so much for being here. The Para-X Radio Network, thank you so much for hosting us. And Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you as well. We look forward to seeing you all here next week. Take care.
Yeah. Night, everyone.